Raho, I'm my white brothers and sisters. Welcome to day 5 of Festum Album Memorial. Today, we're going to discuss how our people suffer for their religion and how that builds strength. So needless to say, I will be mentioning my own past dealing with suffering and persecution. I also want to point out, one of our members pointed out that using faith wasn't so much that the definition of faith was believing in something that was truth only in thought, but not in reality, or at least that's one of the definitions. Personally, I like using faith, but the way he put it, and I'm not saying this right, let me see if I can actually bring that up. You know what? There's too many emails here. That's my distiller in the background. The way he put it made a lot of sense. We should refer to it as our religion, our creed, not just use the word faith. I do use the word faith a lot. The way he put it made sense. So I want to give a thank you to our member there for that. I'm obviously butchering it because I don't have the email in front of me, but he is correct. It's more than faith. It's belief. It's all encompassing. As I like to say, we creators believe just in the religion, that everything is surrounded by that, that it's all encompassing. It's an all-encompassing religion, and we don't divide ourselves like the infidels do. As I've said before, the infidels like to divide themselves based upon various belief systems. They have a multitude of ideologies, whereas we creators have one, just creativity. So yeah, using religion makes a lot more sense than saying faith, or at least as much as I like to use. So yes, so thank you again for that. But I will be talking about our religion. Originally, I had in the notes here faith, but we'll. But yes, for our faith and our religion, we are persecuted a lot, and how that builds strength. Something I've talked about in the past a few times. Anyway, so let us start. This is day 5, Memorial or Memoria, as in Latin. So here we go. What is the lesson of the day? The lesson of the day is Memorial. In this day of memorial, we commemorate and remember the memory of those selfless individuals, soldiers, heroes, and statesmen who devoted their lives to the defense and advancement of our people and territory. We honor their sacrifice and strive to follow their heroic example. We also pay homage to those countless individuals who fell victim to the enemies of our people. Their tragic deaths shall never be forgotten and shall not go unavenged. There is something I want to mention with this, and this is on topic and a bit off topic as far as, individuals that we need to remember have betrayed creativity. Brian Kozel, although we do have Kozel Day or Martyrs Day, Brian Kozel is not talked about that much, and Ben Smith, while being talked about, is not honored as much as he should be. Both Brian Kozel and Ben Smith died for our religion, and it's very important that we recognize them and recognize that they are martyrs, that they are heroes, that they are saints in our religion. That's very important. Ben Clausen, obviously, is the most important individual in our faith. And we should remember all fallen comrades, whether Ben Clausen, Brian Kozel, or Ben Smith, or those that are still alive but are still suffering. Although I am out of the gulag, other brothers and sisters such as Matt Hale and others are still inside prison. So we should always remember them. Especially on a day like today. Because remember, you don't just have to die to be a martyr. You can be a martyr in many ways. For instance, I've lived on the street. I've lived in a shelter. I had to go maybe one meal every other day. That in and of itself is actually worse than being a dead martyr, because you're suffering on an hourly basis. Whereas when you're dead, the suffering is over. You get your reward with the great sleep. Of course, you know, prison is the worst. It's better, I've always said this, it's better to be homeless and broke than to be in prison. Although I have run into people that enjoy being in prison because everything's provided for them. It's the ultimate welfare state. And I've met guys in there, both mostly mud, but also a handful of whites that think it's a lot better to be in prison than when, you know, because you get everything done for you. You don't have to pay for anything. You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I it's better to be cold and broke and in the street than, you know, to be in prison or to be surrounded by 1,000 fools that call you friend. I say that all the time. I also want to mention today that there are blasphemers out there, excuse me, who claim to be creators. And I have talked about these vile sinners of the faith. For instance, the TCM has openly rejected, and I have posted this email on our blog, their so-called leader, who is not a creator. He has been excommunicated. All those that affiliate themselves with the CA and a TCM have been excommunicated from the faith. But this individual has openly stated that the TCM is anti-Ben Smith and has also upped its criticism of Matt Hale. Now, while I think Matt Hale made himself the church, and that was the problem that happened when he got kidnapped, the church kind of fell apart because he did way too much on his own. Whereas I like to delegate all the local primary groups and congregations are basically their own churches within the Church of Ben Clausen. If something happens to me, there are people in the hierarchy to take my place that also have access to our online platforms so that they can maintain the website, the social media, the blog, continuing to post updates and articles and things like that. But each congregation and primary group and family unit are all independent. All you need to do, and I've said this over and over again, is all you need to do is just go online, download Nature's Eternal Religion, and start practicing. That's all you have to do. You don't need to call me. Some people like to send me reports every month, and I do appreciate that. You don't have to. But people there, you know, you don't have to send me a report every week or every month stating there's one guy who does it every damn week. I mean, I'm glad he's active. I'm glad he's putting out lots of flyers and stickers, but sometimes the report. It's probably what I did when I would give Matt Hale a report, a detailed report every month. He probably found that annoying too. Maybe, I don't know, but but you don't have to give me a detailed report. You know, all you have to do is convert, proclaim your conversion, follow the 16 commandments daily, and read from the holy books. That's all you have to do. It's very simple. There's no special baptisms. We do have baptisms. There are like a baby there's a baby baptism, coming of age baptism ceremony, but there's no baptism. You convert because you want to convert. You are a creator because you want to be one. There is no membership dues. There's none of that bullshit. We are all one family. One family in creativity. That's what we are. But yeah, there are certain individuals out there like the TCM, these fakers and posers, that have openly declared that martyrs don't count, that Ben Smith was wrong, that Matt Hale was wrong in saying good things about him. That's how you know when you're talking to a race traitor, is anyone who criticizes any of our martyrs, whether it's Joseph Paul Franklin or George Lincoln Rockwell, whether it's Hess or Hitler or Himmler, whether it's Ben Smith or Brian Kozel, Robert Matthews, David Lane. Whenever any of the godfathers of the movement, the holy martyrs of the movement, are criticized simply because they were violent, simply because they recognize that only violence will liberate us from tyranny, That's when you know you're talking to a race trader, if not a Fed. People like to turn that around. They like to twist it into, well, if you promote violence, you're a Fed. That's bullshit. If you walk up to somebody and say, here's some dynamite, go blow up that building over there, yeah, that guy's probably a Fed. But simply promoting the Fed, as I do, the fact, the common sense fact, the logical conclusion that if you want to end your own tyranny, your own slavery, yes, Kitty, then you have to fight back. Fire with fire. Oh, Kitty. Yes, Kitty, here you go. You want to say hi? Yes. I can't lock her in the bedroom, folks, because she will flip the fuck out. She will start screaming and screeching and clawing at the drapes. And, yeah, I don't need that. We don't need that, do we, Kitty? No, now shut up. Anyway, sit down. Anyway, so I just wanted to throw that out there. There are a lot of fakers and posers and blasphemers out there that will come at you and claim certain things. Don't listen to them. Always honor our fallen. Always. And another thing which I've seen in America, which pisses me off, because I grew up on a very Latin American, European family, where you're supposed to care about a comrade or a brother or sister or a family relative. You're supposed to, if they go to prison, you're supposed to presume that they're innocent, that the system is guilty, that the system is evil, that they're being persecuted, and you're supposed to support them. Unfortunately, in America, the land of 1776, where violent terrorism is what founded the fucking country, and a spitting in the face of authority, the police, the magistrate, and so on, was the rule of the day 200 years ago. Sad to say is that most, almost all Americans, and even a lot of American white racial loyalists even, I'm hoping that number is far less than I think it is. But even within the white power movement, although creative is its own movement, but even within the white power movement, I've noticed that in America, there's this belief that you're guilty, that if the cops kidnap you, somehow you're guilty. And whereas in Eastern Europe and South America, where they're used to communist tyranny, where they're used to Jewish tyranny, it's the exact opposite. If you get arrested in Italy, they assume the cops are evil, that the cops are persecuting you for some reason, and your family and your friends continue to support you. In this country, it doesn't happen that way, and I don't understand that. For instance, every time I've ever gotten a letter from anybody inside the Gulag system, Kitty, shut up. Anytime I've gotten a letter from someone inside the Gulag system, I have always answered them back. Every time. I have never ignored anyone that was in. I didn't care what they were in for. The only crime, excuse me, that I will care about is pedophilia. That is the only crime that I will not tolerate. We all steal from the system. We all steal from Jewish corporations. That's how you fight a war. If I wasn't stealing from Walmart, which is a vile Jewish company, if I was not stealing from Walmart, I would probably not own anything and be starving. but that's what you do because we're revolutionaries. You know, we're revolutionaries. We're terrorists. We're revolters. We're lone wolves. There's nothing wrong with doing that. The problem is people that go beyond criminality for survival's sake or for revolution's sake. And so there are a handful of crimes that I do not tolerate. Pedophilia is obviously one. That's the big one. And any crime against that you do against someone who's white and racially conscious is also unforgivable. But, for instance, just harming some, old person, for no reason, just harming some old person, my goddamn cat, just harming somebody who's old for no reason is definitely something that is, I just can't forgive that. Now, if you're going after someone who's a race traitor, yeah, that's fine. I mean, you know, yeah, you, I mean, fuck it. Kill a 5-year-old if they're a race traitor. I don't give a shit about that. What I do care about, though, is if you're going after someone who's racially conscious and white, or if they're neutral and white, which means they're not doing anything anti-white. They're not white power, but they're not anti-white. That is a crime that's, you know, I can't forgive something like that. But every other crime, even if it's petty theft, there's probably a reason behind that. I mean, well, with white people, with niggers, it's all about drugs. But, you know, there seems to be this, let's ignore people that get kidnapped by the state in the United States. And I guess also in Western Europe, too. In Eastern Europe and South America, no, it's the exact opposite. It's almost always support for the individual who's been grabbed and thrown in prison. So it's very important for us to remember our fallen comrades, whether they're dead or they're locked away in a dungeon somewhere as a POW, or what have you. It's or they're living on the street. It's very important that we remember and support when we can, but always remember. Obviously, we don't believe in the supernatural, but I think because we're all connected by blood and DNA, that the white race is connected. I mean, if you're someone like me who believes in ESP via evolution, then, you know, white people are connected on a super string theory type way. And I think that sending out positive prayers for our martyrs, especially when they're in prison, I think that does help. Not in a spooky way, but in a genetic and a racial blood way. It's a big distinction there. So it's very important that we do, that we focus on remembering them. And remember, we don't have an afterlife. So remembering our fallen, remembering relatives that are close to us. My mother's dead, but she lives on because I remember her. Robert Matthews, Ben Smith, Brian Kozel, David Lane, they are dead, but they live on because we remember them. We remember them in their deeds. We remember them in books that they wrote. We remember them in interviews they've done that we can watch over and over again online. We remember them. We keep their memory alive. And in that, there lies their immortality. Well, let me turn off the... That was my phone. Let me turn that off. Well, I shooed my cat away. I'm going to have to make it up to her. Probably mad at me now. Like, what the hell? But yeah, that's our mortality. There's two ways we have mortality. One is through having offspring, whether genetic or adopted, having offspring, raising them within your own personal racial family values, as well as them carrying on your memory as well as your DNA, and for, you know, their children for them and their children for their children and so on. And also in just remembering people. Because remember, we have no afterlife. So having children, remembering, honoring our martyrs, honoring our family units, remembering fallen loved ones, long dead loved ones, that's where we get our immortality. And it's very important that we maintain that in memory, in genetics, we do live forever. That's very important. First off, because it's logical, it's common sense thinking, it's part of our religion, and it's a very positive scientific way of having immortality without believing a bunch of bullshit or handicapping yourself by you won't get that immortality if you, you know, if you swear or you have sex before you're married or some such nonsense. So it's very important to remember our loved ones and our fallen comrades and our martyrs and our heroes. It's very, very, very important. Now, suffering for the faith, suffering for the religion, this builds strength. It also lets you know whether your friend is true blue, as they say, with their white racial loyalty, with their belief in creativity. It's easy when the sun is shining and it's warm outside to to hold the banner high and to say, yes, yes, I'm white pride. I'm white power. I believe in my race and I believe in my racial religion of creativity. That is very easy to do on a sunny day. But when it's dark and it's cold outside, a lot of people fold up. Now, within creativity, we have far less shirkers and pretenders than any other ideology in white racial loyalty. I have yet to meet in person a creator who eventually gave up. I've met people who were Odinists that gave up, who were Nazis and gave up, who were just basic white power skinheads who gave up. I've met people across the board, but I have yet to meet someone who is a creator and who gave up. Even when I got pissed off that the white power movement wasn't being extreme enough and that a lot of creators were going sideways all of a sudden, I went sideways too, but I never gave up on being white power, on being white pride. I never said, no, I'm not racist anymore. I said, well, I'm getting sick and tired of the movement being a bunch of pussies. And so, you know, I did kind of go nutty for a couple of years, but I never stopped being a racist. I never stopped being a white racist. And I've never met a creator who ever stopped being a white racist either, stopped being a creator. I've always, even those 2 years where I was kind of trying very hard to kickstart Lone Wolf and Leaderless Resistance by promoting anything I could get my hands on that might get white people to actually get off their ass and start killing. I still, though, maintain my belief that Clausen was right. I'm just trying to do the ends justify the means, which is what he said to do. Unfortunately, it seems that just a lot of people are, you know, they want that Walmart life where everything is shiny and new and cheap and easy to get when it breaks. We really need to toughen up. And one of the great things about going to prison, when you get kidnapped by the system, and we have to remember is that all of our people get kidnapped for all just basically engaging in free speech. That's it. We follow the First Amendment and we get kidnapped for it. And then we go into prison and we get persecuted by the court. We get roughed up by the pigs. There's the Bureau of Prisons will throw some systemic racism at us. And then we got to deal with anti-white bigotry from the mud people that are in prison. And also we get to see the fact that not all white people, that just because they're white doesn't mean they're racially conscious. Because I've met too many white people in prison, especially members of the AB and the AC, who, you know, they only do that shit because they're in prison. Like, for instance, I go into prison, all my tattoos are street tattoos. I went into prison with these tattoos. I wasn't trying to hide anything. They're all from the street. I maintain my beliefs. I maintain my anti-Christian identity stance, my stance that, no, Odinism is not the true path for white people. Creativity is. And, you know, this angered a lot of, this angered the, you know, the Aryan Brotherhood and the Aryan Circle guys. And I didn't give a shit. I told them that to their face. And, oh, man, they hated me. But fuck them, you know. Like half of them were all junkies. And the other, most of them were only racist. They were only prison racists, economic racists. They were only racist because it was something that benefited them in prison or because they had to be. It's not because they actually believed in anything. They just had to be. And unfortunately, most of them were like that. The vast majority of them were like that. And a lot of a high percentage were junkies too. So, you know, going to prison, it doesn't just toughen you up physically and mentally to the harsh realities of the world and being without anything, being basically just thrown in a cell with whatever you got, but also proves that just because someone's white and they hate niggers, it doesn't mean they're a white racial loyalist. There is a difference. There is a difference between white pride and white power. There's a difference between being an economic racist or a social racist and being a white racial loyalist. There are differences. I have pointed this out in numerous broadcasts and throughout the decades. I have pointed that out, both of those things. There's a big difference between hating niggers, which everybody hates niggers. I've never met somebody who didn't at some level hate niggers. Nobody likes them. They're disgusting. They can't handle modern urban civilization. Everywhere they go, they fuck shit up. Even the ones that have like white blood in them will still fuck up occasionally. They always fuck up. The Negroid gene is just a bad gene. It's like Jews. Jews can't help but being perverts. Even the ones that try to, you know, come across as these new age white pride conservative right winger types that you were seeing today, is they still will revert back to being a Jew because it's genetic. That doesn't make you the white power. It really doesn't. I hear sometimes people will say, well, it does. No, it doesn't. Everybody hates niggers. I've met niggers who hate niggers. It doesn't mean anything. One of my tattoos was done by a nigger who hates niggers, and he thinks Nazism is cool. That's why I did the tattoo. Even he's a fuck up. It's, you know, listen, well, even he hates niggers, but yeah, but he was also a fuck up. But the, you know, it's, you run into these people all the time. It doesn't make them a martyr. You know, the guy's probably in jail because he was making meth. A lot of white people seem to make meth these days when they're, most of the white criminals I've noticed are like that. They either rob banks or they make meth. Or they're bikers and they're just dealing in general drugs. Hold on a second. Yeah, it's, you know, and then there is a difference between white pride and white power. Now, in the old days, that meant what being white pride meant you were a trad skinhead. It meant you were a traditional skinhead. It meant that you were proud to be white, or if you weren't white, or if you were one of the handful of non-white skinheads who, you know, it meant you hated communism and you weren't anti-white, or if you were white trad, it meant that you hated communism and you were white pride. And then the white power skinheads are skinheads like me. There are skinheads that actually, you know, do believe in hardcore racial separation by any and all means. Whereas white pride might be like, well, as long as they stay on their side of the train tracks, it's okay. Yes, 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 kitty. Yes. No, you got to stop. I'm recording. I'm going to start locking you in the bedroom again. Yeah, you don't want that. She flips out. Yes. It's a shame she's not all Russian blue, because then she would just sit and sulk in the corner with her bottle of vodka, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. Oh, sometimes it sucks having a big white heart, doesn't it? Oh, shut up. See, she's lamenting all the anti-white bigotry out there. Like, even though I'm a cat, I still feel your pain. But yeah, but in the old days, being white pride meant that you were just a trad skinhead. Or it meant that, like, you know, you believe in racial separation, but not like exterminating the Jews. You just want to ship them all to Madagascar. It was something like that. You were racial to an extent. Today, white, you got all these right-wing retards who are now openly claiming to be white pride because the Jews have gone so over the top with their anti-white bigotry, with their anti-white propaganda, that you have right-wingers that wouldn't have given us the time of day even 10 years ago. Remember when Obama Monkey was chosen by the Jews to be the new figurehead for the United States? And, you know, how we kept saying, you know, and the niggers started to get more uppity and started to riot because they thought that, like, oh, well, you know, Obama's president, therefore we can do whatever we want. Even then, you had these same right-wing retards were still rejecting white power. But now, all of a sudden, 10 years later, it's like it's okay to be white pride just so long as you're not white power. We see this shit all the time. It pisses me off. I can't stand these right-wing retards. And they don't care about our martyrs. They not really. I mean, they sort of pretend like they do. And on some level, they might care about, like, you know, white women who are raped and white children who are beaten and killed, you know, by niggers and mud people. They may actually care about them. And they are now starting to say, look, it's okay to be white and proud. It's okay to be proud to be white now. That doesn't make them white power. It doesn't mean they're pro-Nazi all of a sudden. It doesn't mean that, you know, just because they shave their head doesn't make them a skinhead. You know, there's a difference. And unfortunately, we got all these right-wing retards now. And they don't understand what it's like to suffer as we suffer. They don't understand that. We suffer terrible slings and arrows. I mean, these guys, maybe they got to move to like a new neighborhood because a couple of niggers moved in down the block. Or, you know, the Jews, the Shabbos Goy Jew stooge sold the factory to China, and now they got to move somewhere and get another job or start in another field. You know, that's really all they care about. They just don't want the niggers in their neighborhood. They as long as the niggers stay on the other side of the train tracks, it's okay. It's okay, you know. Or there are good Negroes out there. There are good Jews out there. We see this all the time. Yeah, I know. I mean, I watch a lot of these SJW videos, these right-wing kosher conservative videos on YouTube. But that's only for news purposes or just so I can laugh at some of the SJW crap that I see. Because some of the libtard stuff that they throw in as examples of stupidity is hilarious. But I also laugh at them whenever they start saying how, you know, Christ will lead us to victory and all this other bullshit. And I start laughing at them. But, you know, and that's another thing is a lot of these assholes are Christ insaners too. Almost all of them. It's, you got this one mulatto on YouTube who's actually an atheist and, is actually a libertarian atheist and is half black, half white. But outside of that, like, they're all Christ insaners. It's just ridiculous. There might be one other one that's an atheist libertarian type, but once again, you know, like, it's just all these right wingers are Christ insaners. And that is not, there is no such thing as positive Christianity. There is, I don't care how many fake quotes from Hitler you create or take from somebody else's meme and throw it up and like, oh, see, Hitler was pro-Catholic or something. No, he wasn't. He was a shrewd politician that utilized whatever he could for whatever crowd he was talking to in Germany to get the point across against the Jews, against Bolshevism, and for white pride. There's a difference between that and someone like, say, David Duke, who actually believes in the fucking zombie myth. There is a big difference there. There is a big, yes, that's right, Kitty. There is a big difference between, say, an Odinist and Christian identity. At least Odinism is something that is organically white. It's historically white. It's there is a connection with ancient white cultures, whereas Christian identity is they basically just took this Jewish invented creed that was designed to enslave white people and destroy the Roman Empire. And then they somehow twisted and they ignore the Sermon on the Mount. And then they twist it. So now all of a sudden it's this pro-white creed. And I love how they ignore certain things like the Sermon on the Mount or selling your daughter into sex slavery so that you can make money. Or what is it? The Book of Esther talks about selling your own wife and daughter into sex slavery so you can grow politically, gain political power. That's the Jewish element. That's not real Christian identity. Nah, you can't nitpick. You got to accept the whole fucking thing or toss it out. That's bullshit. It's like with creativity. You either accept it or you don't accept it. It's a sin to change anything. We're not allowed to. You have to accept it. Second of all, it's written in plain black and white English, so there's no misinterpretations. This is why being like being the Pontifex Maximus of creativity, being the Pope of the religion, one of my duties is to, as I've said before, is to do interpretations when there's a Kitty. You're starting to piss me off. I'm sorry, folks, I love her, but she's annoying. You're lucky you're cute. Anyway, one of my duties is to interpret when something is to be the final arbitrator of a text of, say, the white man's Bible, like how to interpret, say, Credo 64. Well, I don't really have to do that often. Maybe once a year I'm asked by creators in South America or Eastern Europe. Most of the time it's creators in Eastern Europe and South America that ask me for an interpretation. And that's usually because of, creativity was written in English. And, of course, that's why I always tell people that English is the true language of creativity, even though Latin is the true language of the race, which is to be embraced down the road. But yes, English must always be spoken because the holy books were first published in English. It's like with Muslims and the Quran. It was written in Arabic, therefore the only correct interpretation is Arabic. So the only correct interpretation of creativity is in English. However, it's in such plain black and white English that maybe once a year, occasionally twice a year, somebody that can't really translate the English that well from, say, Bulgaria or Hungary or from Brazil will ask me, can you explain what this means? But I don't really have to because it's in plain black and white English. Oh, giddy. Oh, kitty, kitty, kitty. Shut up. Here, play with that. She wants to play with this. You know what it is? I think it's she is mourning our dead so much that she is wailing for them. I tried locking her in the bedroom for one broadcast and she flipped out like nuts. She just went absolutely crazy. I was like, well, I'm not going to go through that again. But what is wrong? You know what I should do? I should get out the noise monster, which is the vacuum, before I record any show, and then just put it on for like 30 seconds. She'll run into the bedroom and hide for like half an hour. So I might actually have to start doing that. Anyway, yeah, it's kidding. Here, play with that and shut the fuck up. But anyway, to get back to Memorial is, persecution does create strength, and so we should never fear that. And that's the next point I want to talk about is we should never fear persecution. We should never fear being persecuted. It's a badge of honor to be persecuted. Yeah, 12 years in prison sucked. I've been kidnapped 10 times. I've done a total of 12 years in incarceration, and it sucks. It sucks. It's terrible. But it made me stronger in my faith. It made me stronger in my beliefs. It made me stronger in my resolve to destroy the United States and to destroy world Jewry. If anything, being persecuted creates fantastic warriors and lone wolves, men who are just itching to become martyrs and blow themselves up just to kill one or two or three Jews. That's one of the good things about prison is it will give white people the incentive to go out with a bang, to actually martyr themselves. And you have to remember, whenever you do go out killing the enemy, there is a special reward for you. You will be remembered far more than anyone else in the cause when you go out at martyr style. And, you know, some people like to say, well, wait a second now, you keep promoting jihad and martyrdom, but there's no, like, spooky reward for that. There is reward. There is reward. You will be remembered. You will be honored for centuries to come. And if you leave family behind, they will be taken care of. We see this all the time. There's many relatives of those that were in the order. We've all seen the various documentaries. People raised money for them. People gave money for their children, for their nieces and nephews, for their to help their cousins out, to help their relatives out. We see this all the time. Unfortunately, it does take. We should see this a lot more when it comes to our people that go to prison. But I'm glad to see that when our members do martyr themselves in that fashion, go out like the Muslims do, I'm glad to see that there is some fundraising for their families. There is there are celebrations to remember them. I'm glad to see that. But we really need to start seeing that more for our people in prison, because this is ridiculous. The oh well, he's been arrested, he doesn't count anymore. I don't understand that. First off, nobody just gets arrested and they're just in prison now forever. It doesn't work that way. A lot of people go in for probably just only 5 or 10 years. I mean, well, like, you know, white people, you know, because we don't really commit that many crimes. But, you know, I mean, even if the guy gets a 10 to 20, or a 20 to 40. That doesn't mean that he's not going to be out at 20 or even before with appeals. It's not like he's going to get a 5 to 10 and then he's going away for 50 years. No, he might be out in only 5 years. Certainly he'll be home after just 10. I did 12 years total. It was divided, though. There was one stretch that was 6 years. There was a six-year stretch. And that was the longest stretch at one time. And that sucked. That sucked. But, you know, I was still like, okay, after 6 years, I was still out. Now, of course, I was only out for a year before they, you know, grabbed some other unconstitutional bullshit to throw me back in on. However, you know, I still got back out. And what did I do? I went right back to putting up flyers again and being online and giving speeches and shit like that. So, you know, we really need to start showing more respect for those that first off, are members that are suffering and white racial loyalists that are suffering for the cause. Out of persecution, and more so if they try to commit some fantastic lone wolf strike, if they are really trying to martyr themselves Muslim style, which really should be thought of as white style, because the Vikings and the Romans were the ones that first invented that shit. Well, actually, the white Egyptians, I think, were probably invented the martyrdom first. Because, you know, white Egypt, which goes back thousands of years, that, you know, they would die for Egypt and the Pharaoh all the time. So, you know, this is really a white thing. And I would really like to see more white people doing that, going out as Joseph Paul Franklin did, going out as Robert Matthews did, going out, you know, like these other martyrs, Ben Smith, Brian Kozel, men who went out fighting back against tyranny, against persecution, against anti-white discrimination. They fought back and they went out. And I'm glad to see people do recognize that sacrifice and support it. I would like to see a little bit more support, though, really, especially for those that give the ultimate sacrifice, that go out in a hail of bullets, taking out one or two or three of our enemies with them. As well as people that are in prison, that go into the gulag and who have a family, especially immediate family, you know, and they're racial too. Now, I mean, listen, if they've got family members and they're fucking, you know, and they're fucking libtards or anti-white bigots, and it's really just them and the family that's racially conscious, then fuck them. You know, who cares? But support that guy. Support him. And those that do have racially conscious, like immediate family members, like in cases with the order and whatnot, we need to support them. We need to support those people. It's very important. Remember, we are a giant family. We are one white racial family. And especially in creativity. In creativity, we refer to each other as brothers and sisters because we are brothers and sisters in the religion, not just the race, because the race is the religion. The religion is the race. The race is the nation. The nation is the race. The religion is the nation. The nation is the religion. It's all the same thing with us creators. And white people who are racially conscious, especially when they embrace creativity, those are our brothers and sisters. And then our close cousins, racists that are infidels, but they're still racially conscious. That's very important. Very important to maintain the memory of these fallen comrades, heroes, and martyrs, and also to remember that when we do get kidnapped by the infidels, when we are sent into the gulag system, that that builds strength, it builds character, as they say, it builds strength. And like, you know, every time I got released, I became more and more extreme. I mean, right now, I would love to snap my fingers and murder every goddamn infidel on the planet. You know, regardless of age, sex, what have you. I'm so extreme now that I actually pray at night that Putin will launch the nukes against America and England, just so that the jog ends up being destroyed by its own hand. You know, I'm very extreme. Of course, you know, I went through 2 years of extreme bullshit too, but that's what I'm talking about. It builds strength because it will test you. I did over 2.5 years straight in solitary confinement, which is illegal, by the way. But I did over two and a half years straight in solitary confinement in the third, what's ranked as the third worst jail in the United States. And it made me more extreme. It made me more of a creator. I said to myself, you know, if I can get through this, I can get through anything. And it's true. I have been able to overcome a lot of bullshit. You know, I've lost a ton of jobs because I'm the leader of creativity, but I was like, well, you know, being poor is not as bad as being in jail. And, you know, if I got to eat ramen for, you know, a month or two, so be it. As long as I can continue with the cause and continue with the holy work that I'm doing with creativity and with my activism. So, you know, it definitely breeds strength. So if you do go into prison, if you ever do get kidnapped and go into the gulag, there you go, kitty, then remember that to stay strong and that you will come out, a stronger individual. Your beliefs will be firmly entrenched, and your resolve will be cemented. And that's important. That's what to take away from any type of persecution, whether it is you going to the gulag or you're being fired because you're white. This has happened to me many times. Whether you're fired because you're white or you're fired because of the holy religion that you embrace, you know, it will make you stronger. And that's very important, especially in these final years before the Rohoa fully kicks off and the system collapses under its own dead weight. That is going to happen. I have complete faith that that's going to happen. The Jews have pushed too far, too quickly. The system will collapse. It's already dead. It just hasn't collapsed yet. The infrastructure built up by white people was strong enough to withstand the initial death blow. So it's crumbling around us, trust me. By the end of this decade or next decade, I'd say at the latest, there's no way that the system's going to survive to 2050. Everybody keeps saying 2050 or 2100, that the system will survive and collapse at those points. That's not true at all. The system's dead. If we get through this decade, I'll be surprised, to tell you the truth. Which is why I stocked up on black powder and balls and caps. So that's why I got three pistols on me. So I just go out like a pirate and start stealing from all my infidel neighbors. When the shit hits the fan, then go steal their gun. I mean, their real gun off them. Hasten that day. Hasten that day, Satan. Hasten that day. I have actually listened to Christian Identity speeches, and it's funny, they always say, hasten that day, Lord. And so I'm always like, hasten that day, Satan. Well, shit, with all the Christ insane churches promoting nothing but, you know, integration and race mixing, I mean, shit, I mean, you would think that all these white power guys would want to be Satanists. Well, medieval Satanists, I guess. Anyway, so yeah, never forget our holy martyrs. Always remember them. Always support any racial comrade that lives near you that you can support, who is in need. Always, we should always strive to help one another. This is more so for us creators. Remember, and that's something else. We should always put fellow creators first. Never, ever pick just a regular white racial loyalist over a creator. Never, ever do that. We must always show that we are willing to suffer and to die and to kill for our religion, as well as aid and love and help our religion. Remember, love and hate go hand in hand. They're two sides of the same coin. We must hate with such religious fervor as Creative Credo 64 demands, and we must love our fellow creators as the 16 commandments demands. That's very important. Very important. So keep our martyrs close and dear. Always remember them. Always remember loved ones who are racially conscious. Keep their memories alive. That's how we win our immortality, as well as having children too. So always reproduce. Always remember. Always gain strength for persecution. Never let it defeat you. Never allow it to give you overwhelming depression, that crippling depression that so many white people are suffering from these days. I know some of it is because of the fluoride in the water. Some of it is designed, you know, from chemtrails and from unsalubrious food. But also, there's a white suicide is the highest. I think homosexual suicide is the highest. And I'm including those transvestites and shemales in with that, although a lot of them aren't actual homosexuals. White people, I think outside of that one group, white people are the highest suicide rate in the United States. And, always remember to stay positive. Look to your faith. Look to the holy religion of creativity to give you strength. I read from the Little White Book every day, and it gives me strength. I light these candles every year on Festum Album because it gives me strength. It's very, very important to use the religion for what it was intended for. It's not enough just to hate niggers and Jews. It's not enough just to recognize that the Jews are behind all the evil in the world and that the race traitors, the Shabbos Goy, are the frontline stooges. That's not enough. It's also to embrace the spiritual philosophy of creativity, which is love your fellow white man and woman, love your race, make your race, your religion, your nation all the same concept in your head. Creativity isn't just about hating our enemies, it's also about loving our people, loving our culture, our history, our brothers, our sisters. That's what it's about. So always keep that in mind, especially on today. And on Kozel Day, too, where we honor those that have given the ultimate sacrifice, that have given their lives or their freedom to make sure that we live to fight another day. Always remember that. That's very important. Very important. And shame on anyone who is a white racial loyalist, and especially doubly so for those who claim to be creators or who claim to support creativity, that say that I'm taking the religion too far, that the religion is not meant to be followed with the same fervor and fanaticism as Islam is to a Muslim. Shame on you. Shame on you. You're the same type of asshole that didn't support the order when they were out there doing their thing. Who don't send money to somebody who's in prison, who don't send money, say, to the church to help us print out more flyers to reach more people, or to help your racial comrade who lives down the street whenever he's having a hard time, can't find a job. You know, it's shame on you. Shame on you. We must always look out for for each other, especially creators for creators. That's very, very important. And remember, doubly so for us, because creativity, we are our own movement. We are outside the white power movement. We are our own thing, especially with this right-wing retard infestation that we're seeing now all of a sudden. Yeah, I understand. There's a stepping stone. George Lincoln Rockwell mentioned this back in the 60s. You know, stepping stone of getting white people to become white power, white pride, you know, white power, is first you get them to be white pride. But before that, you got to get them to be ultra right wing. You know, I understand, just like the Jews and the communists do with their bullshit, is we need to do with ours. But I'll leave that up to the individual out there to do. I'm going to focus just on creativity. That's what I believe in, and that's my goddamn job. That's right, Kitty. Yeah. That's right. Oh, you caught it. You caught it. That's right. Even the cat knows. And that cat's not even white. Anyway, folks, I want to thank you again for being with me here today for day 5 of Festum Album. Just remember, no matter when you're being persecuted, remember to keep your spirits up. Remain positive. Don't allow the negativity to get you. I should have gone into that a little bit more. Don't allow the depression, this Jewish constructed depression, don't allow that to get you down or to nag your mind. Don't. And try to eat as salubrious as possible, because there's also shit in the food and water that aids with that depression. But never allow anything to get you that down. Remember, feed off the hate when you need it. Feed off the love when you need it. Remember that. Two sides of the same coin, hate and love. Sometimes you got to feed off hate. Sometimes you got to feed off love. Always for the race. Always for the religion. Tomorrow will be day 6, where we light the 4th white candle. Tomorrow will be law. I will be discussing Creative Credo 64 and 65. So get out the white man's Bible. That is tomorrow night. Anyway, happy Festum Album to everybody. And just remember what I've said. Maintain the positivity. Remember that our religion is immortal. Our race is immortal. And our memories from our fellow brothers and sisters makes each and every one of us immortal. Rahoa.